Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I want you to open up your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. How many of y'all believe we're living in weird times? How many of y'all think it just keeps getting weirder? Can I get an amen? Amen. We all took a nap about 3.5 years ago. We woke up and the whole world turned weird. We should not have taken that nap. What were we thinking, right? Things really got out of hand fast. And you look, and there has been a major departure from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This church is growing. Come on. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen? Come on, give God a hand clap for the growth we got in here right now. This thing's going to keep growing. Does anybody believe that? Well, a lot of the churches in America are half of what they were pre-COVID. They're shutting down doors. They're selling off buildings. It's a cultural departure from the Christianity we once knew. And I hate to say it out loud, but if you look at it statistically, America, now I'm not claiming this by faith, but America statistically is now a post-Christian nation in many ways. I'll tell you what we need. I don't believe I'm involved in politics, but I don't believe the political process can save America. I don't believe the Democrats can save America. I don't believe the Republicans can save America. I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth can save America. King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's put the government on his shoulders. Somebody say amen to that, right? So there's this departure. God warned us about this. Right here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here's what it says. Now the Spirit expressively says, right? The Spirit is emphasizing this. He's expressing it. He's making it big. Right? He's saying, look at this. Check this out. Right? It's like flashing warning sign. Look at this. He's expressing the Spirit. He says this, that in latter times, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Here's what he says. The Spirit says that in the latter times, how many of y'all believe we might be in the latter times? Tell you what, I don't believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, you're watching the fulfillment of the world. Your head has to spin. Your heart has to swell. You have to be getting a divine anticipation. So I'm telling you what, we got something coming to us that is so beautiful, so wonderful, so glorious, so hope-filled, so much health and love is coming to us. The person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is coming back. And I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How many of y'all want to see him come back? I'll take him tomorrow. Amen? You look, here's some stuff that's happening. Think about this. The Jewish people scattered around the world, right? That they've been through a diaspora, lost their homeland, persecuted, stomped on, kicked around, killed, put in gas chambers. And what happened? Just like Ezekiel prophesied. He said, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, prophesy to them. Tell them to stand up. Tell them to breathe. Tell them to live. And he was prophesying the coming back of the nation of Israel. And Israel came back from the four corners of the earth and became a nation again. Only group of people that have ever done it because God's word is faithful and it's true. Interesting, I heard a rabbi say this about them coming back together. He said that the Romans built roads, the Egyptians built pyramids, but we Jews built schools. And that brought us back and preserved our culture. Tell you what, in the hour that we're living in right now in America, I think we'd be wise to listen to the words of that rabbi. How many of you think we might have to do some stuff about the education system in this nation as the church? How many of y'all think we might have to do something about the education system? I think to not do so is probably grossly irresponsible for us as leaders right now. Here's what he says. He says in the latter times, right? You look right now like there's a prophecy about the Euphrates River. And it says that the Euphrates River will dry up. Why? Because this massive army is going to cross the Euphrates. And close to the end of time, that Euphrates will start drying up. Do you know what's happening right now? The Euphrates River is drying up. There's a prophecy in there that there are angels that have been held under the Euphrates, chained for bad behavior. And at some point when that thing's dry, those angels are going to be released. There's a death angel involved that'll bring death and wrath on the earth. You know, the Bible talks about alliances rising up and a one world government. Have you noticed that Iran and Russia and China and 41 African nations have come together and made a covenant? Did you know this? They're gathered together. Did you notice that a group of nations called the BRICS nation are now trying to push our dollar off the top so they can have their own currency? Did you know that the Saudis are now trading oil in other currencies other than the dollar? The only reason our dollar's been so strong, it's the petrodollar. They could only sell oil in dollars, and as a return, we kept them safe. Well, that deal's gone. Why? Because the world's trying to knock off America, because there's a rise of a beast system that has to happen before the end comes. Right now, you are watching the rise of the beast. How many of y'all have noticed it over the last few years? Think about the whole world locking down. Everyone participating, except a few of us radicals. I'm still not locking down, amen? Right? I'll never shut my church again a day in my life. I don't care what they loose from the pit of hell, I'm telling you what, we're not gonna forsake the assembly of the saints together. We're gonna come into the house of God. We're gonna worship God. We're gonna stand up of God. Come on, somebody. These guys didn't start the church and they can't close the church. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, the end is near. I study this so much. My children have breakfast with me in the morning. They say, it's the hour of the apocalypse with Dad. Here we go, right? He'll be talking about death angels and all kinds of prophecies, right? You know, the Bible says that there's a couple hundred million man army that'll march at the end of time. It's never been possible to get those kind of numbers together. Now it is. We see the evil rising. Whenever I see the evil rising, I don't get scared. I don't get afraid when I see the evil rising. I don't cry because my kids weren't born back in the 50s. Come on, my kids come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Do not weep for our children or grandchildren. God put them here on assignment. Can I get an amen? Amen. They're different than we are. They're different than the world is. They're marked by the angel of God, and they're going to stand in the last days. In these last days, many will depart from the faith. How do they depart from the faith? Well, they give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. If you notice the seduction that's going on in our culture right now, if you notice the sexual seduction and uncleanness happening in America right now, who would have thought we'd be having the conversations and we'd be fighting over the issues that we're fighting over right now? Who would have thought they would have started telling little boys that are confused that they might actually be a little girl trapped in a boy's body, or a little girl trapped in a boy's body? Listen, if you are a boy, you will never be a girl. You can be a mutilated boy, but you'll never be a girl. If you're a girl, you'll never be a boy. You can be a mutilated whatever you are, but you'll never be the opposite. Can I get an amen out there? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. We still just believe the God honest gospel truth. We're for you, regardless of what you're into, but I'll tell you what, God's got a better plan for your life, and we love you too much to leave you there. Come on, we'll tell you the truth. Sometimes the strongest form of love is disagreement. Sometimes the strongest form of love is disagreement. Can I get an amen? Listen, the end is here, very near. The Son of Man is coming. Right now, many are departing from the faith. Why? They're being seduced away. You know, the devil has seduced humanity away from the goodness of God right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. Amen? Adam and Eve, they're placed in the garden. They're given everything they need. Come on, they're walking with God in the cool of the day. That's a pretty cool deal. Amen? How many of y'all would like to have a standing appointment? Well, you do through prayer. But where God literally, physically comes down every day in the cool of the day. What a deal. They had a job. Every man needs a job. Even if you don't have a job right now, you ought to work for somebody for free. keep you from getting drunk, stoned, and tearing stuff up. Amen? Idle time's the devil's workshop. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, they had a job. Next thing you know, they had everything in the garden. There was one tree in the center of the garden. God told them, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. So what does the devil do? He seduces. He comes into that garden, slithers. Right? The serpent is more cunning than all the beasts of the field. We got anybody that has pet snakes out here? If you do, we're going to cast the devil out of you right after the service. Amen? Come out of them in Jesus' name. Amen? I also pray with people with cats, because cats are of the devil as well. Amen? And all my dog people said amen, right? Come on, let's start a pet war. Let's have some controversy in here, amen? I thrive in controversy. It's no fun until people are angry for me. So the serpent slithers into the garden, and he starts twisting things. How many know the devil doesn't have to sell you a great big lie? Little dab will do you. Come on, somebody, little dab will do you, won't it? If you want to sell somebody, you better not lay it on too thick. You lay it on too thick, right? You protest too much. Everybody knows. So it's just a little bit here, a little bit there. So the devil comes and twists. He said, has God really said? Man, is the Bible, think about this. Is the Bible really written by the hand of God? Did Jesus really walk on the water? Did Mount Sinai really catch on fire? Did the Red Sea part? The devil, come on, more cunning than all the beasts of the field. And he sneaks in there and he deceives the woman. Ladies, you messed this whole deal up. We'll be praying for you at the end of the service too. Us guys are gonna bless you and redeem the whole world, right? Notice the Savior is a man. No, I'm messing with you. We'll talk about marriage tonight, all right? It'll be fun. They go slithering in there. And really what the devil does is twists and gets them to question the character of God. Has God really said? What's the next move? Well, he knows. He knows that you'll be wise like him when you do that. The nature of God, a little dab will do you. If God's a good God, why do people die? If God's a good God, why is there genocide? People don't talk about our sin in the earth that brought all that on. They're attacking the character of God. So here's what the devil does. He gets them to sin, they take the apple, they bite it, or it's not an apple, who knows what it is, right? Some kind of fruit, whatever you want it to be, whatever your favorite fruit is, just preach it like that. How many of y'all thought it was an apple like most of your life, right? You know, the Bible doesn't say that. I just learned that yesterday. No, I'm kidding, I learned it before that, but I'm like, wow, it's not an apple. You know, it dawned on me not long ago, actually. I'm like, wow, the Bible never says that. Whenever they took and they ate, sin entered into the world. Sickness entered into the world. Rape entered into the world. First murder, Cain and Abel, entered into the world. Jealousy, didn't it, enter into the world. Every foul, wicked thing we see in this earth, it's because the earth is now a crash site. How many of y'all recognize that this earth is jacked up? Do you recognize that? Right, it's beautiful, but it's broken. Look out that window. Isn't that a view out there, man? Tell you what, that's almost as pretty of a view of Amarillo, Texas, where it's flat, dry, cactus everywhere. Y'all believe God? Yeah, you know, you'd get some cactus out here. I believe you could if you'll pray hard enough. They take of this, and they bite, and when they bite into that fruit, it cracks the whole world. You know, the rabbis teach that even the fruit lost its taste on the day humanity fell. The smell, the sense, the sights, the feelings were all broken on the day humanity fell. Telling you what, whenever I pray now, I wanna preach like a seer and pray like a prophet. And I go outside and I pray, and I can feel the earth trembling sometime, crying out for the redemption of everything we see, where God so loved the world, the cosmos, the people, and everything else. God's coming back to redeem it. And the stars cry out, the earth cries out, the seas cry out, the mountains cry out. It's all beautiful, but it's broken, isn't it? The world's not my home. I've been around this world. I've preached the gospel in I don't know how many countries. I've stayed in hotels from, you know, Shanghai to Timbuktu. I've stayed in some nice hotels, and I've stayed in some crack shacks, right? I stayed in a hotel. I was going to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, all right? And I was in a little plane. My friend had a plane. He was flying me over. We got caught in a snowstorm, and there was a ball tournament in Cape Girardeau. So there was no hotels left. This was like 2 years ago. There was one hotel you could get a room in. I went into my room. You ever been in a hotel like this? There wasn't a part of the floor that wasn't burnt with a cigarette. I could just see the bed bugs having like, they were having an Olympic contest in the corner of the room, and they were drawing up in battle array against the roaches over here. And the room was covered in glitter for some odd reason. I don't even want to know the answer for that, right? I'm like, dear God, there's glitter in here, right? So I slept, you know, like in my clothes in a chair setting up. That's what I did. Should have just like hitchhiked home or something like that. Listen, you can stay in a crack shack. It's not home. You can stay in a Ritz-Carlton. How many know it's still not home? Even the Ritz has somebody's stink on it from the night before if it's not cleaned right, right? Listen, this world is not your home, Christian. Don't get tied to this place. Don't get too comfortable here. Come on, baby, we're only passing through. Can I get an amen? We got a better home in heaven that God's prepared for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he's got a spot for you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him you got a good room there. Just tell him that. You got a good room there. Amen? Listen, the earth is cracked. It fell. And the devil twists things. Here's a few things he tried to twist in Adam's life. Right, the moment they fell, the only thing that could redeem Adam and Eve was the presence of Almighty God. How many of y'all believe we should not run from our Father? We should run to our Father whenever we mess up, stumble, fall, sin. Come on, somebody, when we miss the mark, we ought to go back to the Father's house. Can I get an amen out there? Oh, if we would just run back to Him. He'll dust you off. He'll pick you up. Man, he'll put your wounds back together. He'll heal you and love you. He doesn't want to push you down. He wants to lift you up and get you going forward again in life. He is a good, good, loving Father, and He's the God of all grace. Amen? You know, I ran from the presence of God when I was a kid. I was raised in the Baptist church. Anybody out here, any Baptist out here? Let me see my Baptist brethren. All right, I love, how many of y'all think we need each other, Christians? Come on, we need the Baptists. Can I get an amen? We need the Methodists that haven't lost their mind and forgot the Bible. Come on, we need the Methodists. Can I get an amen? We need the born-again Catholics. Can I get an amen? We need the Orthodox. Can I get an amen? We ought to be for each other instead of against each other. It's stupid for us to divide ourselves. 2023, we need each other's back. So I'm telling you what, there's a world gunning at us, and there's a persecution coming to the church in America that will be brought on by the alphabet mafia. And they will persecute us, come against us, push against us. There'll be lawfare unlike you've ever seen. You better get ready and buckle up. Because what's been in the rest of the world is now here. I've been preaching in the underground church long enough to know what happens. Now, I've got my first little taste of lawfare in America as a Christian. Now, I'll tell you what, even if we're persecuted, I'm telling you, our God is faithful, and the shield of the Lord is over us, and we're going to go through, and we're not going to bow, and when we don't bow, we're not going to burn. Somebody say amen to that, huh? Listen, the presence of God, people run from it instead of running to it. I was a kid, I'm in the Baptist church as a kid, and people kept saying to me, when you grow up, you're going to be a preacher. Because I've always been able to start a riot with my mouth, right? Just was a gift. You know, how many of y'all just like to throw a little piece of herbal dynamite down sometime, just watch stuff blow everywhere, amen? Right? It get me beat up all the time. I can start fights or I can start revivals. I just had it in me. And they saw that when I was a kid, and they're like, you're going to be a pastor. And I said, no way will I ever be a pastor. Our pastors are candies at this church. I'm not going to be like them. Their hands are soft, right? They dress like, you know what I mean? So some 85-year-old, I love the 85-year-old guys in here. God bless you. But I didn't want to dress like that yet. So I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a cowboy like my dad. I'm going to sell cattle. That's what I'm going to do. And I ran from the church. I left the Baptist church and I became a Methodist. A Crystal Methodist is the kind of Methodist I was. And I was very good at it, right? You know, I had an advanced degree in it, in chemistry. I went to college and studied chemistry, right? Never went to a class, but I studied chemistry. Started when I was about 16 years old. God sent some charismatics into my life to rescue me, right? You tongue talkers brought me out of the grave and brought me back to life. Come on, Holy Mackerel Tabernacle right here. You made it happen for me, and I'm thankful for you. Come on, let's give everybody that believes in the power of God a big hand clap in here. Amen. I was on a big crank binge. My brother came and got me. He said, listen, you're running off the rails. You're going to get in the car. You're going to sober up. You're going with us out to Texas to meet some people. I said, I am not getting in the car. He said, I'm going to break your arms. He was bigger than me, so I got in the car, right? Got in the car, fell asleep, slept 17 straight hours. Woke up, and I've been up for days. Woke up in Amarillo, Texas. My brother looked over at me and started messing with me. He said, man, there's a pastor in this house. We're going to go meet him. He's a great man of God. He said, he'll probably look in your eyes and know what you're doing right or wrong. He's got a gift like that. So I walked in the house. I wouldn't even look at this dude. I'm like, dear God, he knows everything about me. Knows what I've said, knows what I've done, all that stuff. And I sat down on his couch, didn't say anything. He started talking to me, didn't judge me, but he was sweet to me, kind to me, loving. How many are thankful for the people that loved you into the kingdom? How many are thankful for the people that loved your kids into the kingdom? How many are thankful for the people that loved your grandchildren into the kingdom? Amen. And I was sitting on this guy's couch. Man, I feel the anointing when I say that. Y'all feel that? Anybody feel that? Somebody lift a hand to heaven right there. That's liquid love. That's liquid love. Oh, that'll change your house. That'll change your church. That'll change your ministry. Receive the love of God. Be baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit power and the love of God right now. Love the unlovable. Love your weird cousin too, in Jesus' name. Amen. I sat on that couch. Power of God came on me. Felt like mercy, grace, love. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Joy, peace. Like I took a bath for the first time in years. I walked out of that room, got in the car. I'm kind of shocked and stunned. I'd never felt the manifest presence of God like that. Right? It's like, how many of y'all can remember the first few times you felt like God is here? God is here. That's why I come to church. Come on, I love a good light show, but lights aren't going to save anybody. I love good music, but the music can't save anybody. I love good graphics. It's not going to save anybody. You know what will save them? The presence of God will draw them in. We need the Holy Ghost and power. We need the presence and the anointing. Man, it came on me. I walked out. I said, man, I don't know. What'd you think? I don't know, man. I felt something in there. I think it might be God. Oh, that we would run to the presence of God instead of run from the presence of God. Don't hide. If you're out there this morning and you're messed up, don't hide from God. If you're lost, stop hiding. He walks out in the garden and he starts calling Adam. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. Adam. Eve. It's not that he didn't know where they were. He's wanting them to come back to him. He's trying to get them to make a move. Right, I've been saved. How many of y'all have been saved and ran from God? How many of y'all have heard God say something and you act like you didn't hear it? Because it was costing you too much. Too much pain, right? Too much trouble. Forgive who? That's not God, that's the flesh. Huh? Right, the presence. The devil tries to make us run from it, but we're not going to run from it. Come on, somebody, we're going to run to it. Let's give God a hand clap for the presence of God. We're not going to let the devil pervert our view of the presence. I said we're not going to let the devil pervert our view of the presence of God. Amen? It's home. Second thing I see that he perverts is he tries to pervert the person. Right? Adam and Eve, they fall. Think about the perversion, the twist that goes into humanity. First two kids they have, Cain and Abel. There's such a twist and a brokenness, them not understanding who they are by God, that one of them brings an offering, the other one gives a chintzy offering. God receives one, doesn't receive the other. Jealousy enters into their heart. And so Cain kills Abel. Right? Because he doesn't understand how valuable his brother is. He doesn't understand their identity. The person is perverted and broken right then. Right now, we have people with such an identity issue in the nation, and we're feeding it with madness. We're telling them that they're something they're not. They're loading up your children and lying to them right now. In a lot of the education systems, I promise you they are. And you can ignore it all you want, but it's happening right now. I love our Christian teachers, educators, spirit-filled people. Come on, let's give all them a big hand clap. They are, God bless you. They're fighting, they're like a Daniel in a Babylon right now, really they are. They're coming to me and they're saying, Pastor, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm 20 years in. They're telling me I gotta call this little girl a boy. I gotta play along. And it's just not right for me. Pray for me, come on. How many of y'all will pray for those people in that situation? They went into this deal because they love kids. You don't go be a teacher because you wanna get rich. Can I get an amen? You gotta have something wrong with you to wanna be a teacher to begin with. Dear Lord, you know. I'd run off into the wilderness like screaming, you know, trying to get away if it were me. God bless you. Right now, it's madness. And I'd look for some different opportunities. Can I just say that? That's not the church's view, that's my view, all right? That's Brian Gibson, that's not King's. Put this on me. You better know what your kids are being taught. You better get in there, you better pay attention. You better not just stick it on them because it's free. Well, it'll cost too much. I'll tell you what it'll cost too much, having a gay communist kid that doesn't come back to the kingdom of God. Can I say that? I'm sorry. My prophetic side just comes out and I say what I want. And I love you. I hope you love me too, but I don't really care because I got this gift that makes me not care. I think there's something wrong with me maybe. Oh, I need a counselor or something. Listen, try to pervert the person. God doesn't want the person perverted. Listen, you are made in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every child is a word from heaven. Every child is a song and a sound and a poem and a prophecy sent from God to man. They're so valuable. You are so valuable. God looks at you and he sees potential. He sees faith. He sees your future. He sees all your gifting. And he looks down and he says, there's somebody I love. There's the apple of my eye. We got to learn to see ourselves like God sees us. Don't let the devil pervert who you see yourself as. Last thing I'll talk about is he tries to pervert the place of grace. Everybody say the place of grace. Come on, you are in the right place this morning. You are in the sacred assembly, the ecclesia, called out from darkness and assembled together. Where two or more gather together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. Come on, this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is the only thing Jesus is building on the earth. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is the gate of heaven. I'm telling you what, this is the sheepfold right here. How many are thankful for this place of grace? Come on, somebody. How many of you got saved in here, or filled with the Spirit in here, or healed in here, or delivered in here? Don't let the devil pervert your understanding for the place of grace. Love the church. Fight for the church. Come on, somebody. Pray for the church. Pay for the church. Come on, somebody. Oh, I saw a $1 million gift coming into this church soon. I saw a $1 million gift coming into this church soon. We built this building, let's pay it off. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, it's a place of grace. You know, the church was my rehab. I got saved in the church, I got delivered from addiction in the church. Pastor coached me out of meth smoking to pay him back 2 years later, I ran off with his daughter. I'm that kind of guy, amen? Watch your purses, I'll steal stuff from you, I will, right? Best rehabs have pretty women in them, that's what I think about it. I tell everybody around the world that me and Jesse met in rehab, and I don't tell everybody that she wasn't in rehab. I just leave it there. I was in rehab, her dad ran it, right? And so everybody thinks Jesse was a heroin addict, which is kind of funny for me. You know, takes one to know one from the past, I guess. Listen, the church. How many of y'all found your spouse in the church? How many of y'all found it on farmersonly.com? How many of you are out there? How many of y'all want your kids find somebody in the house of the living God. Better than Tinder, can I get an amen out there? Better than the club, can I get an amen out there? Better than Facebook, can I get an amen out there? Whatever social media the kids are doing now, they don't do Facebook. That's all us old folk. Look like Santa Claus on there. There is a place of grace. I didn't look like this just 2 or 3 years ago. This is what fighting for your First Amendment rights did to me. I look like Santa Claus. I'm 45 years old. You ought to stretch your hands out towards me and pray for me and love me because I did this for you. All right, that's all I'm saying. I fought the government and the lockdowns and Antifa and radical Marxist BLM and the liberal media. And I fought them all and I did it for you. I did it for the church. Why? Because I know the church is the place of grace. And prophets, they don't listen to politicians. Come on, politicians don't tell prophets what to do. Prophets tell politicians what to do. What does Nathan do? He walks into David's place and he says, "You are the man." Samuel walks in and he says, "The kingdom is torn from your hand this day." Prophets tell politicians what to do. And the idea that we shouldn't be involved in stuff like that is the devil. You know what Hitler said? Hitler trained the pastors, just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. What a weak candy stance to take in human behavior. Politics shape every form of our life. What your children are taught, what your taxes are, where your roads are, how you're protected, what your borders look like. Can you imagine a world where Christians weren't involved in governance? The devil told you that. You know, Jesus prophesied to political power. Four different parties: Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Zealots. It's all political. You know why John the Baptist got killed? Because he called out a politician. The Old Testament prophets all die because they speak to power, the word of the Lord. It's about time the church gets its guts back because we're losing our country and we better stand up and boldly prophesy. I'm telling you what, we better raise up kids to run for office. We better raise up people to pay for it. We better raise up workers. We better get back in the game. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're losing right now. And I hate losing. We weren't designed to lose, we're designed to win. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap if you think we're called to win. The place of grace, right? So this place where God made man, it's right up there on the Temple Mount. How many of y'all have ever been to Israel? How many of y'all have seen the Dome of the Rock? That big golden thing up in Jerusalem, right? All right, that's the third holiest site in Islam. They really had nothing to do up there, but they needed a claim, a religious claim. So they wanted to hold on to Jerusalem. So the best way you can hold on to something is make a religious claim. Right now you got something to fight about and you can motivate the people, right? God is for us. How many wars have been fought with God is for us behind us? So the Muslims have that right now. Israel took it back several decades ago. They took back the Temple Mount, right up there where the Dome of the Rock is. And then a more secular Jewish guy gave it back to the Muslims. It's under Jordanian control right now, all right? The Bible prophesies that a third temple will be built up there. That Dome of the Rock is coming down in the future. I promise you it will. It'll come down and the third temple will be built. And when that happens, all hell will break loose. Get ready, baby. It's going to be crazy, right? Why is that place so important? That's the most important real estate in the world. It's more important than New York, more important than Paris, more important than LA, more important than Beijing. Most important piece of ground in the world. More people have died over that piece of ground. I mean, it's insane. Why is it that important? Listen, whenever God started creating the earth, he threw a stone out into nothing. And that stone is called the foundation stone. And it's in the Dome of the Rock. It's in there. I've never been in there. They used to let Christians go in there like 30 years ago or something like that. I've never been in it, but I've seen it online, right? I've been around it, but never in it. And the Jews believe this, the rabbis teach this, that God threw this stone out into nothingness. Then he went and stood on that stone and he began speaking things into existence. Said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be land," there was land. "Let there be birds," there were birds, cattle. And in that same spot, he created everything that's made from the foundation stone. Then they believe that he reached down and he pulled the dust up from that spot. and he created Adam, blew into him the breath of life. Whenever Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to God, they would have come back to this foundation stone. It's where God met with man. Whenever Adam and Eve fell, God created these garments and covered their sins. He did it right there at the foundation stone. Do you know that? Whenever David counted the people when he wasn't supposed to, a plague came against Israel because of his disobedience. He went and found a pagan king by the name of Araunah, and he bought that piece of ground. That piece of ground belongs to the descendants of David. Can I get an amen out there? It's nobody else. That's a Davidic piece of ground. And David bought it. Later on, whenever David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, you know where he put it? He put it in that spot. Whenever he had in his heart to build God a house, Solomon had to build it. Where did they build that house? Right there where the foundation stone is. Whenever Jesus prophesied, not one stone of that temple be left together because you've rejected me, it was torn down right there over the foundation stone. This is important. Abraham offered up Isaac. You know where he did it? Right there at that spot. People believe that was the Garden of Eden. Most important place. I went through this place called the, I think it's the Temple Institute. There's a group of rabbis there that are giving their life to rebuild the third temple. How many of y'all believe that God is able to put a temple back up there just like the scripture says? How many of y'all believe his word is faithful and true? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap if you think it's true. It's true. I went there and we toured it. One of the daughters of the rabbi took us through there. I was with all my family and some of my campus pastors, and we started seeing what they prepared for the third temple. They have all the garments that the high priest will wear to preside over temple work and sacrifice. They found the Levites and even DNA tested them. They're training them to sing the Psalms of David. As people walk up Zion to worship on Moriah, they can hear them singing David's songs. They're training the Levites outside of Jerusalem to do sacrifice. They already have the table of showbread. They have the altar of incense. They have everything ready. They have a replica of every utensil ready to go. They got a menorah made out of gold, 95 pounds of solid gold. They are ready to rebuild the temple. They have all the money ready. They have everything else ready up there. They're just waiting for something to happen. They got the red heifers ready. Right? Bread in Texas, by the way. Come on, God bless Texas, right? Texas gives a little piece of that. So what they're waiting on, we walked through there, we saw all this stuff. My whole family's weeping. We wept the whole way through it. We asked them, how long will it take you to rebuild this temple? They said, we got all the money, we got all the stones ready. Said it'll take us like, I think they said under a year. How fast could this thing be done? Under a year. Come on. We're weeping because we know once that temple's built, the Antichrist will be revealed. And I don't fear the Antichrist being revealed. Come on, somebody. Because I know if the Antichrist is revealed, I know that the true Christ is right around the corner with his second coming. After the Antichrist is revealed, here's what's going to happen. The Son of Man's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley. He's going to walk up Mount Moriah. The beautiful gates are going to blow open, the Eastern Gate. He'll walk through up that Temple Mount, sat down in the third temple, and we will put the government upon his shoulders. Come on, give God a hand clap. Our God is coming back. That place that the devil has perverted, God will restore and straighten it out. It's an awesome place. I think our church is an awesome place. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. Don't let the devil talk you out of this church. We're not committed to much. We ought to be committed to the place of grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. Tell you what, our God is going to restore our understanding of the presence, our understanding as a person, and our understanding of the place of grace. Come on, somebody stand up on your feet and give God a big hand clap today. Come on, let's really give him a hand clap today. Listen, Every head bowed, every eye closed. What the devil really did is he messed up humanity by bringing sin. We partnered with him. Sin's been loosed into the earth. It's messed up everything. How many of y'all have ever told a lie? Let me see your hand. All right, you ever told a lie? Turn to your neighbor, tell them to say you're a liar. Just tell them that, huh? You're a liar. Watch out, we're surrounded by a bunch of liars in here, amen? See, by our own admission, we're sinners without Christ, and we need a Savior. How many of y'all think we need a Savior? That Savior's name is Jesus. He's the Son of God, fully man. Was born through the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary. Man, he came up in a town called, he was born and then raised in Nazareth. Lived a perfect life, never sinned, never missed it, worked miracles, became a rabbi, traveling preacher. Not just a man, but fully God. And then he was nailed to a tree, crucified. Why? In my place. Because I've sinned. Because I've broken the law of God. Because I've been selfish. Because I've been full of envy and jealousy, hatred, lust, pride, greed. I did all of that. He died for me. Isn't it amazing that somebody like him wants to hang out with somebody like us? Blows my mind. I'm not worthy, right? Even tie his shoe, not worthy. But he loved us so much, he hung on that cross, he said these words, he said, "It is finished," or "paid in full." Your sins have been paid for on Calvary's cross. But it'll do you no benefit unless you repent of your sins and call on his name. God loves you. He died in your place. He was placed in a tomb. On the third day, he was resurrected by the power of God. And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, he is coming back to execute judgment upon the nations. You're going to want to be on the right side of his second coming. God is grace, but God is justice. God is mercy, but he's a judge, a lawgiver and a judge. Today he has grace. He wants to forgive you, change you, cleanse you. Would you close your eyes? If you're out there under the sound of my voice and you say, "Pastor, I need to be born again," or "Pastor, I need to come home," whenever I count to three, I want you to lift your hand up right where you are. Come on, don't put it off. This is your moment. God's calling you. Don't put it off. One, lift up your heart with that hand. Two, come on, God got you here for this reason. Three, just lift up that hand. I see that hand, 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 that hand. Man, God is doing a move in here. God's moving in here. Salvation bell's gonna ring louder. Hear the word of the Lord. I hear the salvation bell ringing right here in Wasilla, Alaska. And it's ringing so loud and fervently, it's shaking the core of this city. Telling you what, you're gonna see salvation break out in places you never thought it would break out. God's gonna work a great work. He's pouring his spirit out on this city, amen? Those of you that have lifted up your hand, we're gonna pray to receive Christ. Church is gonna pray with you. What's prayer? It's talking to God. Come on, let's talk to God together. Just say this to the Father. Everybody pray with him. Say, "Father, I'm a sinner. I've lived for myself. I've done my own thing. But today, I repent. I turn from my sin to Jesus. I believe on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection for my salvation. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I boldly declare that Jesus is my Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 amen." Come on, celebrate with those people. God bless you. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome, my brother and my sister, to the kingdom of God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.